Today, we're dancing to the RBA's tune. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and problem news with a distinctively Australian flavour. So the RBA and APRA both released their latest credit statistics late on Friday. And I want to go through that data today because it's quite interesting to see how housing credit is growing and driving the economy. Well, that's the only game in town really, as you know. And it's significant now. And I think we're going to see more of it ahead. And just before I start, a quick reminder that on Tuesday at 8 p.m. Sydney time, I'll be running my next live stream. And this is going to be our latest analysis based on our mortgage stress surveys and also our scenarios. And as you might expect, there will be some changes both to the stress statistics and also the forward momentum in terms of prices. So this is quite an important show. Mark your diaries. And if you want to send a question beforehand, then you can contact me by the DFA blog. The details are in the comments below. So now let's look in more detail at the statistics. As I said, this is to the end of December 2020. And it's worth reflecting, of course, that momentum in the markets has been quite strong through January, according to the anecdotal data that I've got from various mortgage brokers and lenders. And so I expect to see more credit growth in the months ahead. So let's start with the RBA aggregates to December. And overall credit rose in the month by 0.3%. And that's an equivalent 1.8% rise over the last 12 months, which is significantly lower than December 2019 when it was 2.4%. Housing credit overall rose 0.4% in December, and that's an annualized rate of 3.5%. Personal credit fell 0.5%, and that translates to an annual fall of 12.3%. And business credit rose 0.2% and is 1% over the last 12 months, compared with 2.4% in 2019. And the broad money continues to expand, up 0.6% in December, and 12.6% over the last year. So if we look in more detail at the monthly movements first, we can see there that overall housing credit at 0.4% upticked slightly, although it's still quite a lot lower than where it was back in 2016. Owner-occupation credit rose more strongly, up 0.58%, and you can begin to see a change in trajectory from the last quarter. Investment housing is slightly stronger, up 0.07% in the month, but is still very, very low relative to where we were in 2017. And personal credit was down 0.5%. It's been all over the place. And of course, this doesn't include credit to services like Afterpay and other buy now, pay later services, unless that translates through to credit card debt, which is actually falling. Business credit was slightly stronger, up 0.23%. But you can see there that there's been a considerable decline since that peak, once COVID was announced, when many businesses drew down on their lines of credit. Since then, business credit has been pretty much languishing. Now, we can also look at the overall credit trajectory, which was 0.3%. And you can see there that the fall really hit after April, and it's been rising slightly, but is still very weak compared with the broad money on a monthly basis, which had that huge injection in April. That's the government stimulus and the Reserve Bank's actions, of course. And since then, it's still growing at 0.6%. So broad money is growing twice as fast as overall credit. I still think that is a sign of an economy in some stress. Now, I have to tell you that the monthly numbers wobble around a lot. So it's quite useful to look at the annual data. And this is now what we're going to do. So annualized housing credit is 3.54% higher. And owner occupation lending is 5.58. So very strong and rising. Whereas investment lending is still, over the last 12 months, down 0.01%. And you can see there's a very minor uptick, but it's still very, very weak compared with owner occupation. So the lending at the moment is very much in owner occupation land. Personal credit is down 12.28% over the last year, and it was very significantly falling in the last 12 months or so, rising more recently, but still, nevertheless, overall down. And business credit is 0.96% over the last year. Again, a significant fall from that peak in April. And sitting below the annualized rates previously seen over the last few years. So credit to business is still a big question mark in my mind. And we can also look at the all credit numbers on an annualized basis, up 1.79%, whilst broad money, which is the broadest measure of all of the flows in the system, is up 12.65% over the last year. So there is this fundamental disconnect between the growth rates of credit and the amount of money in circulation. One of the reasons why I continue to argue that it's unlikely we're going to see any inflation anytime soon. APRA also released their monthly authorised deposit-taking statistics for the same month, for December, and whilst the RBA numbers were for the total pool of debt outstanding, APRA only looks at the banks. And they actually showed that housing credit by the banks rose. It's now over 1.8 trillion. That's as high as it's ever been. It continues to grow. But within that, the relative movement between investor and owner-occupied lending continues the same way. So the proportion of loans for investment purposes continues to fall, down to 35.5%. Now, if we look at the movements by moving parts, owner-occupied loans rose 1.78% last month. Investor loans were up 0.38%. And the overall credit growth for housing was up 1.28%. And you can see there that the trajectory has been quite strong since its lows in October. So the last 3 months have been quite strong. Now we can also look at the individual portfolio movements of the major lenders. This is just a selection because, of course, there are more than 100 lenders in operation at the moment. CBA is leading the way on both the investment and owner-occupied side. Macquarie Bank continues to also be very strong. National Australia Bank continues to lend on the owner-occupied side of the equation, but not on the investor side, on the net basis. Westpac is increasing now both its footprint on the owner-occupied side and also the investment side. That's actually the first time for quite some time. Whereas ANZ is also lending. And in fact, relatively speaking, the proportion of new business that ANZ wrote for investment loans is the highest among all lenders. Bendigo Bank saw some growth on both sides of the equation, a little bit of investment lending, but mostly owner-occupied. ING showed growth owner-occupied, but not in investment. Bank of Queensland, a bit exactly the same footprint, focusing on the owner-occupied lending rather than investment lending. And Members Equity Bank showed a similar trend, if smaller volumes. And HSBC followed suit. And Citigroup, hardly any movement. And then we see a couple of smaller players hardly moving at all. But if we go across there, we can see that Suncorp slid slightly in both owner-occupied and investment lending. And the point I want to make here is that there are considerable variations between the different lenders and their strategies at the moment. But of course, everybody is now going after new home loan lending. And that's why we've seen considerable amounts of low rate offers, both for fixed loans and also some variable loans. And we've seen a few organizations offer historically low variable rates trying to attract new borrowers in. Now, many of those borrowers are refinancing, but we also know that there are some new loans there as well. And the overall trajectory of lending suggests that the paydowns that we saw from a number of borrowers may be coming to an end. Now, also yesterday, APRA released the latest temporary loan repayment deferrals data, and that is again for December 2020. And the point here to note is that there is a further slight fall in the total volume of loan deferrals outstanding. It's around 2% now of total book. And you can see there that there are still a few loans being extended or offering new facilities, but also some are expiring and exiting. And across the portfolio, the proportion of SMEs relative to housing has now reversed, with slightly more housing loans relative to SMEs outstanding. And in terms of the number of loan facilities, it's dropped from a high of, 160,000 to a much lower number now. And looking at the relative exposures, it mirrors quite well the total loan portfolios. The trends across the states are beginning to optimise, although I have to say that it looks to me as though Victoria is still slightly ahead. But of course, that's because of the lockdowns. More true for housing deferrals than for SME deferrals. And they also provided a breakdown of some of the major lenders, highlighting the relative proportion. ANZ is now slightly below Westpac. And interestingly, you can see there that the expired and deferred exits from NAB and Bendigo were the most significant. The share of total loans, both in terms of small and medium business and housing, shows that it's ANZ and Westpac who have relatively the largest problem, whereas NAB is sitting in a much more comfortable position. And the loan risk profiles show the loan-to-value ratio footprint there, with interest only slightly higher at CBA. So the point I want to make is this, that of course the Reserve Bank was really hoping that people would start borrowing more and powering the economy through housing credit, and it's working. Like it or not, we are seeing more people coming into the market, borrowing more, and that's allowing the banks to generate profitability. Of course, they're getting very low levels of interest rates charged by the Reserve Bank for the credit that the Reserve Bank is providing for them. And that gives them the chance then to pass on very low rates to borrowers. I guess there is a question in my mind as to whether the responsible lending legislation, which is proposed to be removed in March, will. In fact, there's a Senate inquiry on that at the moment, and I will be making a submission shortly. But the point there is that even if the responsible lending provisions do get removed, but of course now we have APRA's rules relating to the risk portfolio management of the banks, and we also have the best interest duties now that mortgage brokers are required to follow. So whilst I think it's a mistake to remove the responsible lending provisions and put all the responsibility back onto individual borrowers, the fact is that I don't think we're going to see a massive runaway. But nevertheless, I think the Reserve Bank will be watching these figures quite closely, because if credit continues to grow way faster than wages and way faster than the overall economy, then it's going to create a bigger problem later. But then, on the other hand, as I said before, the Reserve Bank doesn't seem to know how much credit is too much credit. And as home lending is the only game in town, you're going to expect a lot more of that. We are, in essence, dancing to the tune of the RBA, and it's the home price sector which is benefiting, at least for now. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.